And it's got, well, it don't seem like it's anybody that realizes that there is sin anymore. We're living in a time when that people seem like they're more concerned about everybody's going to heaven. You know, that's not true.
Right.
There was a few that was saved in the flood time.
Right.
A few that was saved, a lesser few saved in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yes, sir.
And then it's not everybody that's going in this next go around.
That's right.
I thought about and think some scripture that the Lord had laid on our heart, and I just want to talk to you a few minutes if it pleases the Lord. Tonight, this evening, I'd like for you to pray for these that's sick and these that got hurt out here today. You pray for them. You pray for my daughter. She wants to be here. A lot of other people would like to be here. But let's get our mind on the Lord and on the Word for just a few minutes. And I'll try to stay with the Word and point you out some things the Lord has laid on my heart. If you've got your Bible, you turn with us to the first epistle of Peter and the third chapter. And I want to read about three verses to you, 18, 19, and 20. And I know that this is something that maybe that people say, well, that's not for now. But you've heard this man preaching here this morning and talking about the debt that we owe. But the wages of sin is death.
Right.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And without Jesus, we'd all be doomed to eternal hell.
Amen.
But I do believe, as he preached this morning, that we are not saved by what we've seen or what we preach or what we do out here. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
That's right.
And I know the average preachers over the televisions and what have you today and in the pulpits across America has left this out. But I'm going to tell you it's the same way today that it was back 50 years ago when the old preachers used to preach repent or die.
Amen. Amen.
It's up to us as an individual. And I can't save you. Go way out on a limb, maybe in some of his eyes, but these preachers can't save you. The only one, and you have to get in the right spirit to come to him to get saved. You don't get saved anytime. One of the sickening things that I hear so many of them say that you can just get saved anytime you want to. That's the devil's tool.
Amen.
And you just don't do it that way. There's got to be a drawing power that will draw you to the Lamb of God that you can come down here and pray all day. And if the Lord's not in it, if the Lord didn't draw you down here, you'll go away and you're just as lost as you come.
That's right. Amen.
So I hear more people talking about, and there's something that's really, really bothered me. And I don't know why the Lord wants me. He didn't limit me, so just let me say a few words. I might just testify and sit down. But something that's really bothering me is that our unconcern that we got. Now, these lost people that talk to me about the end times, where you're right at the end time, why doesn't the Lord come? Lost people, I'm talking about people that they know they're lost. And why will you go on lost and knowing that? Why don't you seek the Lord? Seek the Lord and he may be found. Call up when he was near. You know, there's just a lot of things I don't understand. But we cannot make our own way. We must come the one way, that is God's way.
Amen.
And without coming through Christ, no man shall see the Father. No man can get to heaven except my Spirit draw him. And then, if the Spirit draw you, it's going to draw you to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world.
That's right.
And then, if you'll repent, then you can be saved if you believe in Him.
Amen.
If you better trust in Him. And I'll agree again that this preacher talked about works. Yeah, I don't believe he gave you a stool to sit down on. Now, I do believe this today. I believe that we're living in the last days. I believe we're close to it. And I don't know. I thought about what Brother Mark said this morning up here in the choir when he said that he was looked for the sign. When he getting closer, he looked for the sign when he saw the sign. Well, we're seeing all kind of signs today
that's
getting closer, aren't we? And so you need to think about it. If you feel like standing with us, stand with us. We'll read you these three verses of Scripture to you. It's familiar. I think you know them. Maybe most of you quote them by heart. But in the third chapter of the first epistle of Peter, and the 18th verse says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, and that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, by which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved as by water." Father in heaven, we ask Him for Your help. We ask You, Lord, to help us to rightly divide Your word. We pray that You'd just bless, Lord, the congregation that's gathered together here. We want to thank You for the things that we've heard, the gospel that we've heard this morning. We thank You for the good testimonies that we've listened to and the beautiful singing. But, Lord, we're still in need, and we know You're still on the throne. You've still got all power in the heavens and the earth, and we asking for Your help now as the service continues. In the precious name of Jesus we humbly pray. Amen. Thank you for standing with us. I want you to think about what is the Lord waiting for. I'd like you to think about that. Now, it seems like that we are at a standstill. How, Ben? I've seen more people saved this year, heard of more being saved this year, than I've heard in a long time. I've seen more spirit in the churches than I've seen in a while. But there's still this thing out here that many people are questioning and asking, why is all these things going on? Why is the economy falling apart? Why is the churches cooled off? Why have we got so much sin? Why is family breakup come? Why is all of these things? But Jesus said now, "And as it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man." He said they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, and knew not until the flood come and took them all away. Now then, I contend this, that Noah probably preached around 120 years. I've heard people designate 120 years, but I don't know whether he preached all that time or not. But I do know he worked now. I do know he put some work in building that ark, as the preacher preached this morning to him. And I do know this. I do know he had to have faith in the Lord. Now, he labored there for some over 100 years. We'll just lose it simply like that. He labored and toiled there. And I think that his sons labored and toiled with him, so they must have had he must have had an influence with his own family there. But I'm going to say something here. Many people have lost their influence with their own children today. And but today we have seen people that has turned their back back toward the Lord and say, why is he not come? Why is he not come? But if he were to come, what good would it be for you? I'd ask you that question now. We're not talking to somebody out under somewhere. We're talking to somebody here today. If he were to come, what good would it be for you, Brother Dixon? What good would it be for you, Brother Toby? What good would it be for you if he were to come today?
Amen.
Now then, if you're right with the Lord, there's joy. And I get to that. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. But I see some things I want to point out to you. If he were to come today, I wonder how it would be with this congregation that's gathered together here this morning, this evening. And then as we look at this, Peter said also in the third chapter of the second Peter, Epistle of Peter there, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as men count slackness, but long suffering toward us, long suffering for us, or toward us, or to us, however you might want to use it, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. Now then, this is promises of God is, they said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. But what also I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Alright, this is a promise of the Lord. Now, do we really believe the Lord? Do we really, I'm talking about, do we really believe the Lord will come back? Now, I contend this, Mr. Lady, if you, whichever, if you believe the Lord could come in a day, I believe you'll take heed to how you live.
That's right.
I believe you'll take heed to how you conduct yourself. I believe you'll take heed to your conversation. I believe you'll take heed, my friend. I don't believe you're going to just live any haphazard way. Now, today, I tell my people quite often, I don't have many of them here, but some here, but I'm going to tell you that we will not get into the pearly gates of glory accidentally. Now, we have to, they have to go through the door to get in there. We have to go the right way. And then, as we think about this, Jesus told the people over there, as it were, in the days of Noah, talking to somebody, said to the disciple, I believe he's talking to this generation. I believe he's talking to this generation. I believe he's talking to the people of today, as it were, in the days of Noah. Now, look at some of the things that was going on there. They did not believe the right of the preacher of righteousness out there. Now, I don't want you to get me critical, but you, if you want to get a crowd, now you can just get you some of the world is tied into it, and you can get the crowd out there. And this is going overboard. I mean, we got churches in Cullman that they have two or three different services. They got what they call a temporary service for people early in the morning, then they have another service in the later day. I don't really know what a temporary service is myself, but I do want you to know one thing. There's not but one way to serve God, and that is in truth and in spirit. And anything that you get a crowd together, they can be a crowd got for many purposes out there, but not every crowd is a church. Now, I explained to you here this morning that God has got a church, and when you get born, you're born into the church, but you don't get in there by shaking the preacher's hand and by joining the crowd or doing what the crowd is. And I'm going to tell you this evening that as we look at this, hey, look at all of the sin out there. They did not believe the preacher of righteousness. Peter said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I'm going to tell you that I've seen a time how preacher, when you and I and some of these other preachers, brother, I say, you know, when they were preaching and the convicting spirit get on people, and they were scared to death. They wanted to, they'd repent. They'd get right with the Lord. But you don't see a lot of that anymore. You don't see it. They've turned a deaf ear, as the people did in the days of Noah. They would not heed to the preacher of righteousness. And then, and we got more knowledge than we have ever had in this world today. There's more Bibles being read today than there's ever been. And I'm going to say Bibles now. Bless your Lord. There's not but one that's true, but I'm going to tell you something else. You've got a whole lot of them, and I picked up one the other day. I trying to look at some things just to see what it said. I'm going to tell you, when you deny the blood of the Son of God, you might as well throw it in the garbage can. And I'm going to tell you, when you deny that Jesus is the Son of God, you might as well just do away with it. It's not the Bible. The Bible verifies the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Now then, I'm going to tell you that you can believe this. If you don't believe he was virgin born, back in the 60s, about the later part of the 60s, I did have some statistics, and they got away from me. I don't know what happened to them. But back there, out in California, when they run a survey of some college out there, there's about 60%, 60-some-odd percent of the Protestant preachers that didn't even believe in the virgin birth of Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something today. You can't be saved till you believe God's will. I'm going to tell you something else. You can't be saved till you believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I'm not talking about some theory out there. I'm talking about the literal resurrection of Jesus. I got no trouble with it. There's 5,000 people saw him after his resurrection, plus the disciples. And Paul said, last of all was seen of me is one born down in New Zealand. So I've got no problem with that. But people just not believe the word of God. Now, you heard the preacher preaching here this morning. He's my pastor, and I appreciate him. I love him. But many people won't have what he preached here this morning.
Right.
And many people are going to heaven on their works because they can sing, because they can read good, they got a good education, having knowledge. Paul said they'll have knowledge, but it's the wrong kind of knowledge. It's the knowledge of the world, not the knowledge of God. But was that not what happened in the days of Noah? Is that not what was going on? They did not believe the preacher of Christ, and therefore knew not now until the flood come and took them all away. All right, now, Noah said, they told the people that we're going to build this ark, but there's a flood coming. Now, he didn't tell them when, did he? Well, we got some of us that told us when he comes, but some of them already missed it because it's already passed by. So he didn't come then. But now, if it doesn't come to pass, the Lord said, I didn't send that. That's come from some flesh. But now then, as they look at Noah in that time of preaching, and when he got the ark built and got in the ark, he and his sons and daughter, his sons and their wives got in the ark, and God goes through the door. Now I'm going to tell you something. I know those people probably sitting in this building would contradict what I'm saying. You'd say, I just don't believe that. I'm going to tell you something. We're looking for the church to be raptured. Are we not? Are we not? Are you looking for the church to be raptured? I'm going to tell you, what is the church? What's it made up of? Is it not made from the Spirit of God, them that's born by the Spirit of God? And then is that not the church today, if it's not dwelling in us? Is that not what makes a church? Our preacher, in that when that Spirit is gone, when the drawing is gone, when the Holy Ghost is move the church into the paradise of God, and the world, and you're going to be saved without the Spirit.
Amen.
You think about it when you have. Bless your heart. God closed the door, and there those people perished there. Noah and his sons and their wives were saved as by water there. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. As it were in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Most people went down. Now somebody said, everybody going to heaven? I had people to tell me that. I'm a bless your heart. I said, contrary to God's word, there'll be a few that'll save the water. There'll be a few saved by the marvelous grace of God. Because there'll be a few that's believing. I'm not telling you to be 3 or 4 a dozen or so, and I'm telling you, compared to the population of the world, I've said this many times, bless your word, you know those people that want to have abortions and all that. I told somebody the other day, they're already here, so we don't want nobody else here, my friend. But I'm going to tell you, I go to God, that my God has got plenty of room in heaven, but if you don't want to go, he may let one of these little old girls have an abortion and get that baby to take your place, sir. I'm going to tell you, God's got a place prepared for you according to God's word, but if you don't want to go, I don't believe there'll be any vacant places when you get there. I believe his table will be full. I believe there'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory that will overflow everybody there. Oh, this evening you think about it, looking at the sin today. Could you look at it around us? Everywhere you look, and sin is going in leaps and bounds, and it's in full blossom today. And I thought 10 years ago, I don't see how it could get any worse, but it's a lot worse than it was even a year ago. My friends, now, God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. Noah is waiting to Mister, I don't know when the last Gentile is going to get saved. I don't know. And I'm going to tell you one thing for sure, that when that last one gets saved, you better have your suitcase packed and you better be ready to go, because I believe he's come back and it's the source of our all. Now Isaiah said, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not worry, be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Bless your heart. I thank God that I've been waiting a little over 50 years, and I'm looking more for him today than I've ever looked. I'm closer in. I can see more of the promise that he's made. I see the sign out there. Bless your heart, that I'm nearing the home. I'm nearing to the time, to the district, the sign that says, this is home here. I'm getting close. I know that this morning. I'm going to bless your heart. I'm going to tell you that you and I, we are not going to stay here after all the trouble and sorrow has filled this world. If you're born again, God has got a place out of the corruption, out of the trouble, out of the so corrupted world. There's a place of joy, a place of happiness. Not many families that's not got trouble somewhere. Not many families that's not got sickness somewhere. Not many families but what has got confusion and trouble among the children, among the families. And I'll tell you, I go to God, there's joy and peace, and never be no more trouble. The temperature will be all right. Bless your heart. If you need it, right, he'll be there. If you need the sun to shine, he'll be there. You won't have to worry about these things. I thank God for the promise that he's made. But he's waiting. He's waiting. What you waiting for? For somebody to get rest. Somebody to be saved. He's waiting for the church to finish its mission here.
Amen.
I'd like to preach on the mission of the church right now, but I know I've already said up here what I intended to, but let me say something. I bless your word. That wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And we're under the great anointing of God, the power of God. They that wait upon him shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And David said, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer, good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And wait, I say, on the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Now, man, I don't care how much we get anxious to go, preacher. I know we've been on a lot of money. I don't care how much we're anxious we get to y'all. We just got to wait on the Lord, because he is coming back. He will come back. Oh, wait on the Lord. something. And I think about in the about 600 years before Jesus was born, 600-700 years before he was born into the world, and he renewed a promise that God made 3,000 years ago. He renewed a promise that God made back over there to Moses in the days of Moses' time. And he renewed the promise that the Lord made. And he said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now, this is about 600-700 years before that Jesus was ever born into the world. And he said, he shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, being interpreted with God with us. And you know, that it was about 700 years after that they waited for the Messiah. They'd been told that he was coming, and they'd been told he was coming over and over and over. Many of them old prophets back and said, there's a Messiah coming out here. Messiah coming out here. God is going to send us a deliverer over here. Oh, Israel, when they was in bondage, they prayed and prayed and prayed and waited and waited and waited and waited. But God raised up one of them right out of his trouble. Had to go down and bring them out. So, bless your heart, they had to wait a while. This evening. There we waited for Jesus to come. Glory to God. Oh, that great morning. I'm the choir. You're talking about your choir here. Man, I'll tell you, the greatest choir that has ever been in this world, I guess, was on that day when the little boys heard that choir come down from heaven. A sign of peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. Had waited a long time to hear this, and God had given them the answer for it. Oh, I'll tell you, it'll pay you to wait on the Lord. Oh, think about it. And then I can say, my friends out there, after Jesus was born, he found his disciples, he picked them out, and then I told him one day, got talking about him fixing to leave, and he said, I'll not leave you comfortless, and I leave, I pray to the Father, and he said, I tell you what, he said, I'll pray to the Father, and he will, Jesus, what he said, he will, he will, he will. He said, over and over, he said, what he said, I will. You can count on it. You can count on it. And he said, I will pray the Father, and he will send the Holy Spirit. And when he's coming, he'll take his abode within you. I see a bunch of old boys over there that saw him raise the dead. Hallelujah. They saw Jesus do all this marvelous thing. And they've got over there and they're scared to death. They didn't know what to expect. He come by and told them, said, come up on the Mount of Olives. I want to talk to you a little bit. And he gave them a charge. Oh, God help me. Brother Toby, I tell you, there's something that's really bothered me a whole lot. It's this King James Version of the book.
Amen.
These men, they were seven men that taken that book. I'm talking about the King James Version. And they let me to lay my hand on it. And they asked me, will you preach? What's in this book?
Amen.
When you find it.
Amen.
Will you preach it? Will you study it? Will you preach it? Will you do that? I promised them I would. They got one of my living today. But I found this in the book that Jesus is coming back. Oh, I found this in the book. I'm waiting for him to come. I'm looking for him to come. I'll tell you this evening, those disciples, they got over there, and they, the angel told them, Jesus told them, says, you go down to Jerusalem and tarry there until you are endued of power from on high. Now, Mister, I think I would, but I had a lot more education than what I've got. I hadn't got much, and most of you know that. And I'll tell you, I'm not against education. But he didn't say go down to Howard College. He didn't say to go somewhere, philosopher out there. But he said you go down to Jerusalem and tarry there. I'm going to tell you what, we got too many people that's gone out there trying to do something for the Lord, and they had never got to Jerusalem yet. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to get to Jerusalem before you benefit to do the Lord. But we got there, and I got down there after about 40 days of seeing him around, and they had about a 10-day prayer meeting going on. I wonder how many of you have prayed 10 minutes for the service. That's a camp meeting. How many of you really think about how many of you prayed 10 minutes for it? I'm not being mean. I'm just asking you the question here. Bless God, they prayed 10 days there. And then all of a sudden, glory to God, I know some people don't believe in it, that they somehow up in hell. That promise that God had told Jesus to promise them, he said, he promised them that the Holy Spirit would come. And they waited there for 10 days praying, and after a while, there was some unknown, strange commotion taking place. A sound of a mighty rushing wind. They didn't know where it come from, but it filled the whole house. And my, you talk about a revival. If you want a revival, folks, it's got to come from God.
Amen.
It's only place. And I could see them, they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. When it come, it filled the whole house. I have folks that tell me, preacher, nobody ever got it but just the disciples over there. Well, they just didn't know, did they? That's all the way. Every learning and every coming to the knowledge of the Lord. All this world's understanding and pain, they just don't understand. The world can't understand that. They're waiting for the Spirit. They waited for the Spirit. And the Spirit come. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? They waited for the Spirit. They waited for Jesus and he come. They wouldn't accept him when he come, as Brother Addiction said this morning. But to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And now we're waiting for him to come the second time. Glory to God. And the salvation is coming back, folks. As sure as you're here. And then I can just say, I want you to think with me. Bless your heart. I have a verse of scripture I want to read to you before I close this evening. I don't know, and I read this just about every time I go to the cemetery. And it's something to me that when you go out there to the cemetery with an old saint of God, and I sometimes read it when I don't know if they were saved or not. I don't know about nobody but myself, you know, but anyway, somebody I think might not be saved. Sometimes I read it. This scripture means so much to me, folks. I know there's a lot of things are happening. There's a lot of things are happening among my blood kin. There's a lot of things are happening in my community. There's a lot of things are happening in the city that I live in.
Yes, sir.
That is ungodly and untrue. There's some things are happening in my country, in Alabama. There's things are happening. I don't understand why in the world they're happening. I don't understand the way people are doing, the way people are living, the way I can't understand how people can mistreat their children. I can't understand how things is going on tonight. I just don't. I'm out for Him. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm looking for Him to come back any day. When I go out to the cemetery, when I stand at the edge of the cemetery, I like to read this scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Thessalonica in the 4th chapter of 1st Thessalonians, the 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you shall not even as others which have no hope. I don't know about all of you preachers, but I know this one thing. Brother Dixon, I've stood many times a cold body laying out here in front of me in a cold casket, and a family sitting there wanting me to say something about they went to heaven, and they'll give me no evidence whatsoever that they had any hope that I could tell that family. I'm going to tell you something. This is touching to me. Now, listen to what he said. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope.
That's right.
For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. How many of you believe He's coming?
Amen.
Have you got some loved ones that's already off? Would you like to see them again?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to live right. You're going to have to get right. You're going to have to live right. See them. He said, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Yes.
I've said this. I don't know if there's a better place to be in the Bama Cemetery than you. I never have forgot this, and I've used it several times myself. We had a boy who was in high school many years ago. It was a little bit of kin, distant kin to me. They wanted me to help with the funeral. And they turned West Point School out. I guess there's probably 400 or 500 kids come to that funeral. They lined up kids. They undertook a line. The kids up cemetery were down on the back side of the edge of the back of the church. The funeral director lined those kids up from that school and made two lines of them, like the aisle down through here, just like an aisle down through there. And we were walking down through that thing, and the old preacher that was helping me with that funeral, he said, "Brother Willis," he said, "I don't know of any better place to be than to be here when the Lord comes back." And I got to thinking about that boy drowned on a Sunday morning off on the creek over there, drowned. We did not know where he's right or wrong, we don't know. But what I'm trying to tell you is, the dead is going to rise first. I'm talking about the Christian. The Christian is going to rise first. And then listen to what he said. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord.
Yes.
Now I'm awaiting. As some of you have heard me say this, and somebody challenges me every once in a while about it, but I've said a lot of times I'm not looking at this cemetery. I don't. I've said I believe I'll still be living when Jesus comes. You say, "Preacher, you're setting a time." No, I'm not. I'm not. I may live a long time. Some people might not want me to, but I live a long time. But I'm going to tell you one thing for sure. I'm looking for Him to come back.
Amen.
And all these old saints that's going to get up. Some I didn't think would make it, but probably get up.
That's right.
Are you listening to me? And some I thought would make it, might not get out.
You're right.
But them that's been born again, them that's lived for Jesus, that wasn't ashamed of him. When they get up, he's talking about our bodies this morning. And our bodies is weaker than what it used to be. I can't run as many miles as I used to. I can't do some of the things I used to do. And I know that. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, look over at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor's eyes. Huh? In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
Amen.
Caught up in the air. Forever be with the Lord.
That's right.
And the last verse of this said, wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
While you're waiting for Jesus to come.
Yes.
While you're waiting for Jesus to come,
yes.
Comfort one another
Amen.
With His Word. Don't let the devil get you down and out.
Amen.
Don't let him get your mind on the things around you. Like Peter's looking at the boisterous waters out there.
Yeah.
Get your mind upon Jesus and look at Calvary. Look what He's the preacher preached, what He's done for you today. Look at it and see. And just wait patiently because He will come to secure you here. God bless you. I love you. I love you, preacher. If you feel like doing it, or you feel like doing it. But let me tell you this morning, this evening, folks, we're waiting for something to take place.
Amen.
Are you ready to go?
Yes. Amen.
If you're not,
Amen.
If you're not, you better get ready. God bless you. I love you.
Amen. Praise His name.